At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jaga Hao, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 7th to the 10th of October 2024. Hi, how are we? So, as you can see if you're watching on YouTube, I'm in a slightly different location. Let's talk about that in a moment. Hello, Ree, how are you this week?
Ne hao, Rob. How are you?
Yeah, that's very good Hong Kongian then, Ree. That's literally what Ree just said. What's Hong Kongian for hello is what Ree literally just said before she Googled that.
What is Hong Kongian for
Hong
hello?
Kongian. I think you probably got Cantonese right. I'm in Hong Kong right now. We're on the first leg of my Asia trip, and I just want to show you this view. You could just about make it out of the window there if you're looking on YouTube. That's not bad.
Oh, your hotel room looks nice. Can see the reflection more
than
the view.
It's not bad. I know the daylight's going. It's currently, what time is it over there?
Is that because you're doing it after dark? Rob.
Oh, yeah, see the lengths I go to, right? The lengths I'll go to make this branding work.
It is 11:14 right now, Rob.
Right, and it's 6:14 in the evening here. So I quite like this timetable. I quite like not having to get up early to do this. I might stay here.
Oh, okay.
I might go somewhere with slightly more reliable internet, but
I was just going to say the internet thing could be an issue there.
Yeah. Talking of the internet, so we're going to try our best this week to get everything covered. What we're going to do is slightly subvert what we normally do and go for the bigger stuff first, just so we've got it recorded, and then see what we've got sort of the internet to discover at the end of it. So let's see how we get on. But it's all service as usual. What a week we've had this week. I want to thank Ben Cook for helping me see this week's episodes. We won't say how, but the services I have to provide to make see
there
these
ways.
Episodes.
Right?
Honestly, there are ways and means, and I'm humiliated because of them, but there we go. But thank you very much to Ben for that. And what a week it's been. Quite the week. Really nice stuff with the David stuff this week, including a comeback I don't think anybody saw coming. So so cool.
I did not see that coming at all.
No, so we will discuss that right now in this week's Albert Square After Dark. So we will start with David. I'm just stunned by what we got this week, and I think it is really testament to the characters that we've got back on the show at the moment, and makes you grateful for the fact that we've got these characters. Because can you believe, really, that this week in 2024 we had scenes between Ian and Cindy and David and Kathy as well? That was great.
It was hilarious though, seeing David like find that Cindy's back from the dead, and then Kathy. That was brilliant. Amazing.
Yeah, do you know what? Out of all the scenes this week, and I loved the David and Cindy scenes to pieces, but I actually think my favourite scene was the one with Kathy, where a great line where it was just like, what is it, the Walking Dead round here? Who's next? Auntie Pauline. She's going to come wander out the laundrette. Brilliant. So last week you did theorise that David would just happen to be in the area. Were you satisfied that he was here for Bianca this week?
Yes, I was satisfied. All right, Rob. There was quite a few people who commented thinking the same as me, as well. So it wasn't
that's
that
fine.
Clear. Come on. Give us some credit, Rob.
Well, at least that got cleared. Got cleared up in the first 5 seconds.
Is that what you want me
saying?
You were right. Saying.
Yeah, of course, that's what I want you to say. I want you to say that every single week.
Got a phone call from Ricky.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you. So, I mean, what I would argue, though, is that the scenes between David and Bianca, they were nice. They were good. They did what they needed to do. But I think, if I feel like we were, as viewers, I think we were more here for what was going to crack on between him and Cindy, right?
Definitely.
But do you think that the Bianca and David stuff sort of ended on a satisfying note? Were you kind of happy with how that all progressed? What did you think?
I was. When he initially was leaving and just left Bianca and she were crying, I was like, well, this is awful. He can't just leave like this. Because at that point, I was like, right, he's just back for 1 week, then it is only 1 week.
Yeah.
And I thought, they can't leave it like that. That's horrible for Bianca. So I'm glad that we had that closure of him coming back and saying, come with me. Come on, I want to
So
help you
gave
out.
him the
And
chance.
her then actually denying him. At least she saw that he cared. I thought that were actually a really nice scene, that.
Because really, all David did do for Bianca was sort of just. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that like being there as a presence is a huge, huge thing sometimes. You know, just to sort of be there as a moment of support for however long you're there. But it did seem that all he really did was sort of turn up, tell her to like go to see a GP and have a bit of pie and mash with her, and then was off again. I don't feel like he necessarily. I don't. I have a feeling that if Ricky speaks to him, he's going to be like, "Is that all you did? That's not why I rang you. I want you to be
That
more
is
helpful
true.
than that." You know,
Well, he's got a roof over her head by kicking Reese out of his own house.
this is
So
true.
there's
Like
that.
this is Reese. Reese is going to return and still find Bianca just kind of chilling on his sofa. Like, how's that going to play out? I don't see
This
how
is what
Reese.
I didn't get. Like, did Reese go, all right, I'll leave and you two can stay in my house? Or like, why would Reese agree to that given what's just happened? But okay.
And Reese has gone. Where's Reese gone to Peterborough or something to be closer to Debbie? Was that the reasoning for it? I
No,
feel like. Go
Debbie,
on.
why would he want to be closer to Debbie?
Oh, well, I
She's
know.
gone.
This is what I mean.
Sonia.
Oh, Sonia. Sorry. Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah, Sonia. It's the jet lag. I'm
Right.
sorry. It's the jet lag. I'm going to blame
Jet
any
lag.
mistakes I
I was
make
going to
this
say
week
that's going to be
on
it
jet
today, isn't
lag.
it?
Yeah. And probably for the next 2 weeks as well, because it's a long old
Fair
flight.
enough.
I'm going to blame it all on jet lag from now on. So he's going to be closer to Sonia. That makes much more sense than being closer to Debbie. I was confused about that. I feel like that was very much sort of just to get Reese out of the way, though, wasn't it? Because I feel like the Reese stuff and the Bianca stuff, that's just going to kind of rumble on. We wanted to sort of get David with the characters that we wanted him interacting with as soon as possible. And yes, we wanted to see him with Bianca, and I liked the scenes between him and Bianca. That was great, fine. But what we were here for was the stuff between him and Cindy, wasn't it? And oh my God, did they deliver big time.
Brilliant.
I loved that he had no idea that Cindy was still alive, because very often what you'll get, kind of similar to what he did with Kathy, he did turn around to Kathy and say, "I'd heard you'd been resurrected." So I'm so glad that he had no idea about Cindy whatsoever. Perfect.
Yeah,
Isn't it weird
agreed.
though? Isn't it weird that we've got the scene of David discovering Cindy's still alive, but we have never received the scene with Ian discovering that Cindy's still
Ian,
alive?
I know, and we had a little thing again when she were describing to David what happened, that she just rang Ian. So we're supposed to believe that she somehow just acquired Ian's mobile number, rang him, and then that's how they reunited then. Is
Yeah,
that it? Is that the story of how they
I
reunited?
think the story that they've given us is the one that's happened. I wonder if at some
Right.
point they were going to sort of do something
Go
with
a bit
that, but
more in depth.
I think now it's sort of a bit late now to be doing anything with that now, isn't it? But it's been long enough, and I feel like now it's more focusing on the relationship that they've got now, this messy relationship. Cindy is, at the end of this week, I've decided, probably the messiest soap character I think I can remember in a long, 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 long time. And it's all by her own doing as well. Like this, it,
Yeah, I know.
she's not an unlucky person. This is purely by her own actions, all of it. She is.
She's got issues, hasn't she? Bless her. Hilarious though, when you see Cindy stood in the vic, and then you've just got Ian, David, George, and George Jr. all stood behind her. Brilliant.
That was
Brilliant.
a beautiful moment, and one of those things
Yeah.
that, you know, I feel like EastEnders can only really do, because I think EastEnders, more than any of the other soaps, I've said this many times, but EastEnders more than any of the other soaps has no issues going back over its own history and sort of study and
Yeah,
like
very true.
bringing characters back and sort of looking at different relationships and seeing how they might have evolved. Arguably, how would you say the Cindy and David relationship has evolved over the years? Because I think there's an argument to say that actually it hasn't moved forward that much, because they are still clearly having feelings for one another.
That's what I'm going to say. I don't feel like it has evolved. And like Cindy said, it were like all of that happened 28 years ago were like yesterday for them. It even felt like that because, like she said, oh, we've changed, but actually they still know who each other are. And I was actually though very surprised that it was David pining after Cindy and not Cindy trying to go after David. I was actually a bit surprised by it being that way around, I've got to admit.
Yes, but I feel like it would have taken that much more persuasion, if I'm honest. I really don't.
Oh.
I think if David had
That's what
sort
we're
of,
hoping for. I wanted an affair on an affair this
I
week. Come
am,
on,
in
Cindy, what are
fact,
you playing
yeah,
at?
if any, yeah, she's
Slacking.
slacking, isn't she? I mean,
Slacking.
that moment where she is proposing. I mean, let's just talk about Ian's proposal for a moment. Bringing in a barbershop quartet, marvellous.
Gotcha,
why not?
I forgot about the proposal.
I want that. If you're going to propose to me, bring in a barbershop quartet. That'd be perfect. Whoever
noted,
you are.
Rob, noted.
Even if I've never met you, I will accept your proposal at that very moment, because to me, that is, if you want proposals with harmonies is what would get me going. That's absolutely fine. Do that.
Do you know what, though? Fairness to Ian, he made that quite special for a proposal in the Vic.
Yeah.
It was good, actually. Yeah. We've got to give him credit there. Nice.
Exactly. And it is absolutely mad that Cindy could turn around and see three conquests just standing behind her, kind of shaking their heads disapprovingly. Three.
Like, what are you doing?
Three. It's ridiculous. And even then, I feel like this happened even without the David presence, really, because David and Junior kind of came to blows. Expected, I think. I think you could see that those two were going to clash at some point. The main reason they seemed to clash wasn't because of Cindy necessarily, it's because of the stuff that had been going on with Bianca. Junior was giving it a bit of lip. David ends up punching him. And Junior sort of storms out. 5 minutes later, David walks out of the pub and sees Cindy and Junior snogging in the alleyway with the door wide open. They are not careful, these two, are they?
They are
at
not
all.
Careful.
They never have been.
No.
Never have been.
That could have so easily have been Ian.
Anybody. That could have been anybody.
Literally. Yeah. They're lucky with David, if anything.
There were so many callbacks this week, though, weren't there? Like, it's a really, really weird thing for me to remember this, okay? And I'm not entirely sure it was even intentional, all right? One of my earliest memories of EastEnders is the Cindy and David affair, their first kiss. And that first kiss they had was a really passionate one. And I remember, because it was so weird. It's the first time I'd ever seen it happen, so I didn't know why it would happen. David was kissing her neck in that first kiss.
I did wonder if that was deliberate, though, myself, because
did
it seemed odd that he was kissing her neck.
Yeah.
I didn't remember the moment, but I did think, why is he kissing her neck? So it probably was deliberate.
It maybe was, yeah. I mean, that always sticks in my mind because it's the first time I'd ever seen anybody kiss anybody's neck. And I remember thinking, is David a vampire? What's going on? I don't understand why that happens.
Why is he kissing her neck for?
Why is he kissing her neck for? Yeah, I was really northern as a kid as well, yeah. So David sort of, I mean, what was David's motivation to this point? He wanted to sort of, what did he want to do? Get revenge? Or was he feeling petty? What do you reckon?
I think he genuinely, because I didn't understand why else he'd do it, but I actually think he was just like, Cindy, stop effing your life up, love. I'm not letting you do this.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you do this. You're older now. You should be wiser, but you're not. What are you doing carrying on? But to be honest, I think the camel that broke the straw's back.
Yeah. Massive
was
dromedary,
she was
that poor hay.
Yeah. She was describing to David that she still was in love with George and that she imagines George Jr. being George. I think David
was
like,
weird.
Nah,
that's weird.
This is the line that's been crossed. I'm telling everyone this is effed up, Cindy.
Yeah.
Even for you. Even for me, this is effed up. I've got to tell everyone because that's weird. I think that's when David was like, nah, this is weird.
You are shagging a man's son and basically closing your eyes and pretending it's his dad. That's weird, Cindy. You need help. You need psychological and professional help, love. Did it surprise you when she turned around and said she was still in love with George?
It did, because if it had been a few months ago, I wouldn't have been as surprised. Mm. But we've not really seen much George and Cindy interaction, so I didn't actually think that she was anymore. Especially now she's moved on with his son. I thought,
that was the thing. I kind of thought that I have always sort of got that the Junior thing was very much a substitute for George at first.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that she had been all this time. She was still sort of using Junior as a substitute for George. To turn around to David and say, I'm still in love with George. And I genuinely think for a moment, there was a moment in David's head where I was like, who the hell's George? And then he remembered, like, just the numerous men. Yeah, the numerous men that Cindy has just sort of had some form of dalliance with. It's incredible. She is such a messy, messy woman. How she has the gall to actually turn around to anybody and say, well, I've changed as a person. I've grown up. That was a long, long time ago. No, you haven't, Cindy. This is
literally
27 years
same.
Later and you're still talking. You're talking now to the bloke you had an affair with 27 years ago in the same vein as the sort of things you were doing 27 years ago.
About your current affair.
Yeah. Like,
against the same person you're having an affair. Oh,
yeah.
God, it's so...
Is someone going to get shot at some point, Ree? Is this where we're going with this? Is someone going to get
I
shot?
hope so. Do you know what, though, Rob? I love it. I love all of it. It's brilliant.
Drama.
I love Cindy. It is
She's
such
great.
drama. I just love it. I do.
She is great. It's just...
But even I was surprised when she was like, is a George substitute? I was like,
yeah.
Ugh.
That's messy.
Ugh.
Messy.
That is messy.
Absolutely messy.
Yeah.
So, Cindy and David go back to the pie and mash shop and have a long old conversation. Beautiful dialogue by Simon Ashdown this week. Fabulous stuff. Love Simon Ashdown scripts. And
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And, I mean, Rob Gittins and Simon Ashdown this week both absolutely knocked it out of the park as far as I was concerned. There were some great moments for David. I wish he was around for longer. Hopefully he'll be back again soon.
I do. That's what I wanted, actually, yeah.
And just the sort of study of their relationship and sort of looking at David. I almost think that David started that conversation jealous of Cindy and jealous of the fact that she's marrying Ian. But I almost think that by the end of the conversation, she talked him out of it. Because, like we say, she's basically confessed that she's having this really messy affair. Not even messy in terms of the logistics of it, but also messy in her own head and what psychologically messy as well. I think he was sort of like, you know what, actually, I don't need that. Goodbye. See you later.
I think maybe I do. Yeah, maybe
yeah.
I'm out of it. I agree. I agree. I think then he was like, oh, no, you're still very much messy, Cindy. Maybe
even
not.
More messy,
maybe
if
not,
any, even
you.
More messy, if anything. I think, if anything, she's got worse. Like,
brilliant,
honest to God. It's brilliant.
I was expecting David. You know, obviously, we were having David were getting these phone calls from Holly.
Yes, yes.
I was expecting him to have a partner maybe in the background or something and him be questioning his own relationship when he's in Cindy, but it doesn't seem like he has, does it?
Well, no, but I think that was very much what we were supposed to be thinking throughout the week. That it
yeah,
was like,
course.
Yeah, some woman's ringing David up. Of course she is. Like he's messing some woman around, poor cow. And that woman kind of kept getting in contact with him throughout the week, kept being reminded. And right at the end of the week, let's just discuss this big moment that happened. Holly FaceTimes him and... there was a moment I was sort of like, well, am I supposed to recognise Holly? Like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
Who is this woman? What are we starting here? And then we discover that this is David's granddaughter and her dad's here. Do you want to talk to him? There's Joe on the phone. Played by actual Paul Nichols. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. Well, even when she was like, oh, do you want to talk to dad? I was like, who's a dad? Who's
yeah.
a dad?
I
thought David was a dad at first and he'd had a secret daughter.
Yeah.
That was my first thinking. Then she said, oh, dad wants you to stay with us. And then she puts him on.
Actual Joe. Amazing.
Actual Joe.
Love it, love it, love it. Great, great, great.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say the Joe storyline from the 90s is really, really underrated. If you want to have a look at schizophrenia, like played out in a soap opera, and it's not called Isaac, go and have a look at how the... Well, it's really unfortunate as well, because that storyline was playing sort of concurrently in classic EastEnders at the same time as the Isaac storyline was.
Was it?
Yeah, completely undeliberately, I'm sure. But it was sort of just like, oh, well, that's better, isn't it? But it was amazing, that storyline. And Paul Nichols was incredible in it. And it kind of stuck around for a little while after David left and then sort of left. And we never really heard anything about Joe ever again. So to have this moment of looking at Joe and it's like, you're doing all right. That's nice to see. And you're actually starting to build a relationship up with David again. You've got a daughter. Lovely. Delighted for you. And David's gone off to sort of see the rest of his family. And that's gorgeous. I absolutely love that.
It is. I did
but
feel
then,
a bit sorry for Bianca, though, because I was like,
yes,
how much has been in contact with his
this
other
is the
kid
thing.
Then?
This
that
is
seems
the one.
A bit unfair.
Yeah, this is the one criticism that I think I would throw at the whole David stuff. It was that the stuff, the Bianca stuff kind of felt like it had to happen because David was there. Let's be honest, David was brought back for the Cindy stuff, wasn't he? He wasn't brought really back for the Bianca stuff. It was nice that Bianca was there, But I feel like if you're going to talk about A stories and B stories, as far as David was concerned, the Cindy stuff was very much the A story and Bianca was very much the B story, wasn't she? So
yeah,
they kind of did what they needed to do with the Bianca stuff, but...
You were also expecting that he were going to believe Bianca and he didn't at all, did
he? I was, yeah. When he had those scenes with Reese, I kind of thought that he was going to work it out himself. Like, yeah, no, you're right. She's right. You are weird. Like, you've got weird ways. Yeah, I agree with Bianca. But I don't think he was that convinced by it. And I think that she didn't do that much to convince him about it either. So, like, they had these nice conversations. I think the fact that she was talking about Junior and everything that she'd been doing kind of just convinced him that she was having a bit of a messy time mental health wise. I did see a theory online, actually. Now, you may well turn around to me and say that this is just an incredibly sexist theory. If it is, then I apologise, okay? It's not intentional.
Go on. I know what you're going to say.
Is it the menopause?
Menopause.
Is it the menopause that she's going through?
I did wonder this myself. I'm glad.
You voice it more than me, and then I'm not a sexist pig. Go on, you talk about
No, I've not seen this theory, but I did ponder it at one point this week.
Is it because she's old enough for it now, isn't she?
Bianca's age, and I was wondering, I don't know, it could be, maybe it is that, I don't know though, but it could be a theory, yeah, certainly, but it, even to me though, if it turned out it was to do with the menopause, then people should believe what she's saying about Reese more. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. That's a very, very good point. They should. Because if she turns around to Kat and goes, So turns out I'm just menopausal, that doesn't tend to make people think that other people are murderers for no good reason.
People are trying to imply that she's
Not got depression. I've not got ADHD. I'm not bipolar. They sort of went through the whole list of it this week.
But hey, she may still well have depression and ADHD alongside being menopausal, because I know that I think sometimes hormonal changes can make ADHD type symptoms worse and certainly depressive symptoms. So it could absolutely all be interlinked. So I hope they do go down a more medical route with Bianca, because it's clear that there is, even though she's right about Reese, there is obviously still something going on with
her. Yeah. And it actually feels like what that something is kind of still very much in the air at the moment, doesn't it? I don't think that we've necessarily had a real solid, like, yes, the whole depression thing has sort of been used for now, but I think they've then gone on to sort of use it as a very sort of broad term for everything that she's doing at the moment, which don't really sort of ring true in a lot of ways. So I wonder if there is something more solid there, and depression is maybe just a branch of it. And I'm fairly sure that
depression can
be connected to the menopause somewhere along the line, because your body's all over the place with the hormones and stuff, right? So, and she's old enough to be going through the menopause, I think, isn't she? So,
yeah, that's what I was figuring out when I had a thought of it this week. And I was like, she must be about 50 now, at least.
Yeah, I think so.
Menopause type of age. So, yeah.
Wait and see.
I would be surprised if they did go down that route, perhaps. Yeah.
Let's wait and see how that plays out. The very last shot at the end of the week. Did you predict it? Because I kind of did. I was like, there's a recording device in that shop and they're having this really long, detailed conversation about Cindy's affair and her mindset and everything that's wrong with Ian and everything that's wrong with Junior, actually, as well.
As soon as Anna and Freddie left the mic set in there at the pie and mash shop, I was like, it's obviously going to be recording. That was my first thought. As soon as they left, I was like, all of this is being recorded.
Yeah.
Who's going to hear it, Freddie or Anna?
I tell you what.
Probably both of them.
If they're planning on having a Sharon Gate-type moment, where this recording is played to everybody, they're going to have to do, whoever plays it will have to have done a hell of a lot of editing, because that conversation was long.
Yes, that is very true. Would they though? Because if it's only Freddie and Anna who are going to discover it, I can't imagine either one of them doing some big Vic showdown and playing it publicly. So it'd only be if Anna then plays it to somebody else who would do that.
Exactly. So let's have a think about this. Where is that recording going to end up? Right now, there's no reason for it to end up in anybody's hands other than Freddie, really, is there? So where could it possibly go from here?
Ian, though, if he goes into the pie and mash shop first, but I don't see how he'd know how to get it to work.
No, why would he play it?
To play it. Or Peter? But then why would he play it publicly?
Lauren knows about the... Lauren has an idea that something's gone on, and she's got a gem of an idea from the crush. Maybe.
Yeah, that's true. But do you know what though, Rob? A part of me wonders if Junior would do it on purpose and act like it were an accident and
Wouldn't
play
put
it,
it
because
past
I
him.
thought he was very close to telling George this week, and
Yeah,
he
yeah,
seemed
yeah.
like he wanted him to know. He seemed like he wanted it all out, didn't he? Because
Yeah.
it's very clear that Junior wants them to have a relationship now.
Junior has feelings. I
Oh,
said this was
shut
going
up,
to
Rob. God, yeah, well done.
I
Yeah,
tell
you
you
did.
what,
Yeah, you
do you know
did.
what's happening for 2025? A new feature of this podcast in 2025 is the I called it sheet, and we're going to do scores throughout the whole entire year and
That's a
tally
good
mark it
one.
off.
Oh,
That's
and all those
happening.
silly theories that Ree has. Well, guess what? We're going to
Yeah.
tally it up next year and they're all going to be right. And I'm going to have
Ree's
my smug moment.
riffing is going to be turned into tally marks next year, let me tell you.
Yeah, certainly.
So great. I mean, this recording, fantastic. Yeah, classic EastEnders soapiness, soapy nonsense, marvelous. Play that recording in the worst possible time. God knows how they're going to make that work, and there's going to have to be a hell of a lot of editing done to the recording to make it effective because there's going to be stuff in there that most people will not in the room will not understand. But you just need to kind of get it down to the bare minimum of,
Really.
yeah. Bare minimum of I've been having an affair. I don't love Ian. I'm not that fussed about Junior, and I'm still in love with George. That's all that really needs to play. We have
So
George.
messy.
We have George and Elaine's wedding coming up. That's a potential.
Yes.
We have
Yep.
Christmas coming up. That is the potential. And me and you have been thinking for a while. This feels like a Christmas reveal, doesn't it? It really does. And then, of course, the anniversary next year. There is ample
Nah.
opportunities for this to be revealed. I think Christmas.
Sooner rather than later, I think so. Christmas, I th yeah, I'm thinking Christmas.
Bring it on. Can't wait. Right, ladies and gents, we will now discuss the other sort of big story that was kicking off this week, and that was Kat and Tommy. The other big storyline that we should discuss this week for sure is Tommy and Kat. Been quite the while since this has been sort of really addressed like this, but we had violent Tommy again this week, and by God, did we get violent Tommy, or as we now know him, the little shit. Yeah, because he's a little shit.
Yeah, he is really, he really is.
Let's talk that punch, because that kind of I was surprised that kind of came out of nowhere, that punch, which is not only, I mean, yes, dramatically that's is how you do it. You shouldn't see these sort of things coming a mile off, but also worrying that he would lash out that quickly and over that
But
little as well.
also, not that in no way am I excusing this, but I think Tommy was surprised by it as well. Like his reaction when he did it, he were a bit like,
Yeah.
oops. We're
Now the
almost
problem.
like, I didn't mean to do that, but I just did.
Yeah. Oh dear. But the problem with that now is that he wanted to go to Denzel's 16th, and I think I understand why Kat let him go, because I think at that moment she was like, "Yeah, I'll go away.
I
I
think she
can't."
were in shock as well,
She
to
was
be
in shock.
honest.
She needed to have that moment where she stood in front of the mirror and looked at her bruise, because that's what you do in that situation. I think we've all done that. Just stood in front of the mirror and dramatically look at a bruise in the mirror. That's how it works. But she needed to have that moment. She's just like, I need you away from me. Off you go, so I can kind of process what's just happened. But the problem with
Yeah.
doing that is that he has received no backlash for what he's done. So
He's
effectively,
almost been rewarded,
he's been
hasn't
rewarded. Yeah, he's got away with
he?
that. And that's now going to snowball, isn't it? And
Yeah.
once again this week, we had him threatening the boys.
I think Kat's been sussing something with the boys as well, because one of the twins, I'm sorry, I can't tell the difference, said that they only like football with the
After all
dad.
these
And she
years,
said, what
Ree.
about Tommy? And I should know by now. And she said, what about Tommy? And they said no. And I think she was like, why is that? You know, they used to love the big brother. What's happened to the big brother? So this all depends on how Kat goes about things. Is she going to cover for him? Because here you go, my smug moment. I said that Alfie'd go on this training.
Yes.
Alfie'd go on this training course and Tommy
Yes.
had misbehaved. Would Kat tell Alfie when he gets back? I don't think she's going to tell him, you know. I think she's going to keep it hidden.
Oh, I think she's going to keep it hidden for sure, but then I wonder whether Alfie will start to work it out, because don't forget that Alfie's been on the receiving end of Tommy's violence himself, so
True.
it
And he
might
knows about
not,
it,
and he knows about it
like from
exactly.
recently.
Yeah, so you kind of wonder if it would take Alfie that long to work it out. Little moment with Phil this week. I don't know whether that's worth sticking a pin in, that Phil is aware at the very least that Tommy is
Yeah.
being unreasonable and stroppy and gobby, and Kat's not doing a huge amount about it. I wonder if that's
That was
something that.
deliberate, because why else should Phil witness in it at all? So, yeah.
Yeah,
Because
because that
I
was.
initially said I don't think Phil will be involved, but now I do
Yes.
think he will.
I think he will
Yeah.
be involved somewhere on
Well
the line,
done.
because I remember, because the thing is, he's been there with Denny and Sharon as well, hadn't he? So I think that this, we know that Phil goes apeshit over things like this, like, because he went apeshit at Denny when Denny hit Sharon. So I definitely think that it would do this storyline and Kat good for Phil to be involved somewhere on the line. But the problem is, Alfie then gets his butt hurt, doesn't he? Because he wants to be the one that saves the situation. He wants to be the father. And the problem is that Phil, I also think, would half blame Alfie for the situation as well, just because it's Alfie.
Yeah, because he can. But I also think that Phil would get through to Tommy more than Alfie, if I'm being quite honest, because Tommy idolises Phil.
Yeah,
so
100%.
It'd be better all round if Phil did get involved. If he did get involved. But then you could imagine that Kat might just get defensive and say, Phil, butt out. We've got nothing to do with you. So,
but then you've kind of got that difficult thing where, right, let's be honest, right now, Tommy has zero respect for either Kat or Alfie, does he? Mm-hmm. And the only person that he has any respect for is Phil. Now, if Kat and Alfie are going to keep pushing Phil away because of that, that doesn't help anybody in their situation. They already are at the stage where they need help with this, right? They are already at a stage where Tommy is punching his mother in the face and then sort of and trying to steal from the calf and just being a horrific child, basically. And there's no way that what they're doing now is going to change that, surely. So what is their next move? What do they do?
It's got to be Phil. Phil's the only person I think will get through to him. That's got to be it.
I think so.
Is he still going boxing, Tommy?
I mean, I'd imagine so. He's
they're just teaching him how to punch his mum better right now. So maybe that needs to
knock that
stop.
On the head, so to speak.
Yeah, knock that on the head.
Domestic violence. I agree though. It's clearly not helped. And again, this is something that it's something that helps him spend time with Phil as well. So he's not going to want to stop doing that either. It's just messy. And I do think that Phil is actually, and Kat's not going to like it and Alfie's not going to like it, but I genuinely think that Phil is the only one that might be able to alter the situation at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think for that exact reason, they are going to keep Phil away for as long as they can, because they have too much pride in how badly they are in you know, the eyes of Tommy, that they are being parents to want to bring Phil into the situation. So long way to go with this, I think.
It depends as well. Is this going to be Tommy forever or is he redeemable?
Yeah, we said this last week. I do wonder now whether this is now Tommy Moon. I think Tommy Moon might grow up.
I agree.
Because like we said this week, what has triggered him to be like this? Like, there's one thing being a stroppy teenager and another being an abusive, violent thug to members of your own family.
Especially to his own mum. I've seen quite a few of our listeners actually online making Dot Cotton and Nick Cotton comparisons to this.
Imagine a time when Kat turns into Dot. Oh, how has that ever happened?
No, but have you not seen the saying that they think that Kat will just be always standing up for him and saying, no, but he's a good boy.
Yeah.
He is a good boy deep down, and everyone else is going to be like, come on, open your eyes, Kat. And a lot of people have been saying they wonder if it's going to go down that kind of route.
I can see that.
That it'd be a forever change. Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah, and let Kat turn
to
the Bible.
Can't see Kat chain smoking 40 a day in the laundrette.
No. But
she's
I'd be here for it. I'd be here for it if she wants to.
Get her baking, out the maybe.
Yeah, get her out the leopard print sticker and cardigans. She'd be marvellous. I'd absolutely love it. There you go. So, long way to go with this, I think. I'm still really worried about the twins as well. I think something horrible's going to happen there, because I think there's a reason why they keep showing these moments of Tommy being threatening towards the twins. I don't like where that's going. My heart breaks for Kat at the moment, because she is desperately trying to grasp onto that once sweet little boy that she remembered, and he's just gone, and he's hitting her, and he's being horrifically, like, awful to her in every single way that you can imagine. So let's see where it goes. But yeah, tricky stuff. One little thing left to sort of discuss was Denise and Jack. Still seems to be... is that making a turn? Are they going to get back together again? Or,
well, yeah, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but, or is the Chelsea reveal going to put an end to that?
Of course. Yeah, probably. Yeah. as soon as he finds out about that.
Yeah, the fact
probably
that Denise
will
knew about it, right?
And then he'll think, oh, you were only trying to help because actually you felt guilty because you knew about it all along. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, can we take a moment for how awful Jack is and always has been about Penny and her disability as well,
yeah,
by the way.
Right.
Because Jack was absolutely awful this week. And how does he not know what he was saying could be hurtful? Like, how does he not have this awareness? It's almost like he's in denial about the fact that he is responsible for Penny's disability.
This is the thing. Like, it's one thing to be insensitive about what you're saying to your disabled daughter, but even more to be insensitive to your disabled daughter who is disabled because of you and your actions. Like, that's another level. And I am amazed that I'm amazed that Penny even wants anything to do with him whatsoever. Like, if anything, Penny is being by far the biggest adult in this whole situation.
Person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She really, really
Definitely.
is. And she seemed really pleased that her and Jack seemed to make amends this week. And I just, like you say, I think he's awful in some regards. Him and
to
Denise
Penny,
thing,
he is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, like, Jack has his moments with a lot of people. You know, he's sort of
true.
He's all machismo.
He's consistently awful with Penny, though. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing we like more in this podcast than consistency in a character. So marvelous. Thank
there
you very
is
much.
That.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, I reckon the Chelsea stuff will put anything that's starting to reignite between him and Denise away again. I mean, I do sort of wonder why, I wonder about this, because Denise was the one that was sort of pushing Chelsea to tell the truth. And yet now, do you think that now Penny and Jack are speaking again, is she going to be like, do you know what, let's just leave it now. And Chelsea's going to be the one that feels too guilty to keep quiet.
It could take that turn, definitely. It depends, though, because the case is still not quite finished. We've still got one person in a critical condition. So it might all be a bit dependent on how everything goes down that route, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Or how Amy recovers as well, and whether there's still time for Jack and Penny to fall out again. So
there's at least another,
see how it goes on that front, I'd guess.
That could happen next episode, couldn't it? I think it's interesting. It's interesting, the Jack and Penny relationship. There was a kind of a period where I was sort of like, I don't get why they've brought Penny back. I was struggling to see the point of her as a character. But now they've sort of, you know, this is what happens. You're getting patient as a viewer. You want everything like laid out for you immediately so you know what you're going to get, don't you? And it's wrong of me to think that, because I kind of get this whole thing with him and Penny, with Penny and Jack now. And it's sort of interesting to sort of study their relationship, sort of look at how Jack sees Penny's place in the family. Like, clearly, right now, he puts Amy above anybody, but everybody else, and then probably Lauren, and then maybe Penny at the bottom if she's lucky, you know?
What about Ricky? Probably Ricky above Lauren.
Yeah, exactly. Ricky above Penny. Like, she is basically the bottom of the food chain as far as Jack is concerned, and he consistently makes that perfectly clear to her. So
he sees her as the bad apple, doesn't he? And, you know, because she's got herself into trouble. And it's like this week for me made me go, oh, I understand why Penny is Penny, actually.
Yeah,
if you look at this as what she's had to deal with from her dad, who's
100%.
Created all of this. So
I would like to see this whole thing between him and Penny about how he was the one that is responsible for her being disabled, for her being in the wheelchair. I'd like to see that really like brought to kind of forensic detail, looking at what exactly that is doing to Penny, and sort of look at and have her proper have a go at him about that, and sort of really go in on him and look at him trying to defend himself, because I don't think he'd be able to. It's impossible to defend that. And the fact
I
that
think
he's
he'd
been,
try, though.
I think he would try. Yeah, you're right. But I think even the fact that he would try is reason enough in itself to sort of want him out of your life. So it's, I would like to see that studied more. I'm looking forward to sort of evolving their relationship and looking at how that's going to progress. So that's going to be good. Gold star Reef this week. Who are you giving it to?
David. You can't do
I knew
it.
You were going to do that. Fine, I'll give mine to Cindy then in that case.
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
all right,
I mean, it was always going to go
fair.
That way, wasn't it? David and Cindy. I mean, Michael French, you absolute star. I have loved every second of having David
back
this week.
We want more.
Please come back more regularly. I love David so much. He is probably up there with one of EastEnders' greatest male characters. I absolutely love David. I want him back ASAP. So make that happen, please. So, final bit of this week's podcast. There's been some pictures floating around. It's a massive spoiler siren, so if you don't
huge
like spoilers,
spoiler.
Huge spoilers potentially. But if you don't like spoilers, now is the time to leave the podcast, okay? Because
this
now
is your spoiler warning. We have warned you. We are going down spoiler territory.
You cannot whinge at us for talking about spoilers when we've given you this much warning, all right? But we feel this is worth discussing, okay? So let's now have a look at the photos that were leaked, apparently, this week. Let's the spoiler sirens continue to ring out as we talk about what we potentially have coming up in the coming weeks. If you've missed this and you don't mind hearing potential spoiler details, it would seem that the Knights slash Carters have a funeral approaching. There is a very big reason that we're talking about this. We wouldn't normally do this, okay? But we feel like this is potentially something that might be worth discussing. The pictures that have been released would suggest that Linda is being killed off, because in the pictures you have everybody that we would expect there, Elaine, and you know, but we also have Nancy and Lee there with Johnny. So everybody that should be there for a Linda type funeral, and also tellingly, Linda is not in any of these pictures.
And also, Elaine's wearing pink earrings, and I think Nancy's wearing flamingo earrings.
Yeah.
So, come on.
But, and it all seems to be kicking off, like, there's a picture of Nancy slapping Elaine. I mean, for a start, exciting.
And Johnny's drinking out her hip flask.
Yes, which is ironic, really. So, potentially, let's even just discuss the fact that, exciting, Nancy and Lee back for a bit. That's going to be nice. That's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. However, I do not think, and there's a few, quite a few people online have sort of tweaked to the fact, it seems very odd that we have not heard that Kelly Bright's leaving the show.
Yeah.
I do wonder if we're set for another little fun twist of the format, and this is going to be a bit of a what-if situation, and we're going to have a look and see what would happen if Linda was to continue drinking. And ultimately, it would kill her. Because I cannot see any reason why else they would film a fake Linda funeral, right?
Do you know what my theory is? That it's all just fake, and it's just to get us all talking about something, because
could be.
Nancy and Lee are probably back and they don't want us to know the real reason. So they've just staged these photos. Because remember when the Six stuff were happening, they had some Keanu scenes from an airport that weren't real, and him talking to Lauren. So I actually think the entire thing's staged, if I'm honest with you.
Interesting.
And I don't think any of it's part of any storyline. They're just staged photos because Nancy and Lee returning is going to get leaked. They're back for something else. But I don't know.
True.
I'd be wrong.
Oh, it's interesting, though. I like the idea of a sort of, like, especially seeing that Christmas is coming up, and given the sort of the time period between filming scenes and them being aired, this would appear to be being aired around Christmas time, which would suggest that maybe Linda is going to be visited by the ghost of Christmas messes, and it's like, just have a look at her future.
I don't know how will they pull that off.
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. And the way that I've worded it there sounds like I don't think that is possible to pull off convincingly. However, this is Klenner's, right? I have faith. True. So I something's gone on there. There is, put it like this: I do not think that Linda is being killed off whatsoever. So something else is going on, right? There has to be.
Surely. Oh, for all we know, Linda's inside there and she's wearing all black at somebody else's funeral.
Yeah.
His mixed funeral or something. And
yeah, they've discovered his body.
We've come across his remains. Don't know why they're all wearing pink earrings. Maybe that will honor his requests.
Yeah, I want everyone to wear pink earrings, even the blokes. I want them wearing pink earrings, please. No, because you know what? They wouldn't be pink earrings. They'd all be in pink dressing gowns if it was mixed funeral.
I was just thinking, I literally just thought that as well. Yeah. Yeah. Don't know. Something. It doesn't seem like it's what they're trying to show us, does it?
No, something is going on.
That it's Linda's funeral. Yeah.
Exactly. Something is going on. I'm very intrigued to sort of see what it is. And it looks like we will find out in the coming weeks. Marvellous. Right. That's it for this week, okay? Because the internet is sort of behaving itself and sort of not behaving itself. We're going to bring this to a close. But thank you very much for watching, and thank you very much for listening. Remember, we're not here next week, but we will be back the week after, a day later. So we will be back not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. I think that's what we went for, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And Rob, can I just say something?
You can,
Thank
Ray.
you For
That's
your
right.
commitment. Look at you. Look at you on location in Hong Kong.
I'm
Come
not gonna
on.
lie. I'm not gonna lie. There's a part of me that feels quite posh. I feel like Emily Maitlis, just on location, just showing off my posh hotel.
You do look quite posh.
I
I
love
don't
this
know why you
hotel.
look more posh without the mic stand than when you have got the mic
Because this
stand.
suggests the fact that I've held the mic in my hand suggests on location, doesn't it? I feel like a proper
Yeah,
reporter.
true.
Robert Innes, BBC News, Hong Kong. That's got a ring to it, right? I could do that. I
It
could
has
do that.
actually, yeah.
But thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do any of the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on X and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on
Sick.
YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favorite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, you can indeed. We will see you not next week, but the week after. I look forward to it. See you then. It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next. Bye. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.